Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 25. 4, verses 22 through 25. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Wow, I read that too fast. Let me read that again. Verse 25. Which you will be speaking on this morning. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. May God add the blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God this morning. We echo the words that we've heard thus far, how glad we are to be here today. We thank God for you, and we praise God for the great privilege to just be able to worship together. And we know, even if, as we've just heard in that song, it's only through Jesus, only through him. Will you join me in prayer now? Let's go to the Lord. Let's ask his help as we look into his word this morning. Father, thank you so much for the great privilege of being here. Thank you that we can lift our voices, we can turn our thoughts toward you. Thank you that we can join together as a people who were called by your name and worship you, our great God, through Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, today to continue to exalt Jesus, the living Word. And Father, help us in humility this morning to receive the written word. God, we ask for your help, by the help of the Spirit today, to have ears and that will hear and eyes that will see, that our lives will be changed today by your word. Thank you for that great grace that's given your word. And Father, we pray now that we truly would be changed by your work of grace this day. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our study of the doctrine of sanctification has taken us now to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And when I think back, we actually haven't been here since back in November. We went in a couple other directions, but we're back now looking at this doctrine of sanctification. And if God grants us to do it, we would like to look at Ephesians chapter 4 in its entirety. And then our direction by the grace of God would be to go to the Old Testament and study the life of Joseph. So that's what our plan is. But of course, God rules over all things. And we'll leave that to him as to how that works out. Ephesians chapter 4. Look with me this morning at verses 17 to 24. This is where we were in our last study, or at least partly in that study. The apostle lays the groundwork for practical, everyday Christian living. So look at verse 17. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." I would say to you this morning, as we think back and look at this statement by the Apostle Paul, that our lives can change, and our lives will change if we are truly in Christ. There's the key. If we are in Christ, our lives will change. And so we don't have to live a life of futility and a life of darkened understanding and a life of blindness of heart and a life of lewdness and uncleanness and greediness. We have been given a new life created by God. And Paul would have us know in this passage that this new life, this new self, this new man, with all its attitudes and actions and emotions and behaviors, is created by God and is like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now look with me at verse 22. These are important truths for sanctification. He says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man or the old life or the old self, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so as Paul now here speaking to believers, speaking to Christians, reminds us that we have the responsibility to put off or to lay aside our old life with all its behaviors and attitudes and words and put on the new life, the new man, the new self, which was created by God. And the question then that comes before us then is this: how do we do it? How do we do it? And the answer would be God does it, and He does it as we renew our minds through the Word of God. And so we have responsibility. God is at work. We have some responsibility, but God is working. It's our responsibility then to fill our minds with the truth of God's Word. He says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And folks, when our mind is filled with the love of Christ and the fullness of God and the Word of Christ, then the spirit of our mind will be renewed and be freed from the deceit of this world. And out of that renewed mind comes new attitudes and new emotions and new practices, and we become clothed with righteousness and holiness. And this new person that we become is indeed the creation of God Himself. And to God then belongs all glory and honor for this amazing, astounding change that takes place. And it all comes from God. Amen. All comes from God. Now what the Apostle Paul does for us in Ephesians 4, see, he lays this foundation. He shows life, what life is like apart from Christ. He does that in the first few verses. And then he gives us these steps: put off the old man, renew your mind, put on the new man. And then what Paul does in the rest of this chapter, he gives us some examples of how to do that. By the Holy Spirit of God, Paul zeroes in on certain aspects, certain areas of our lives, and he gives us examples of how we can change. And so what you'll see today and what you'll see in the upcoming weeks as we look through Ephesians 4, you're going to see practical living. You're going to see what it means to put off something and have your minds renewed, and you're going to put on something. And you'll put off the old life and you'll put on the new life. I was thinking this morning as I was reviewing this passage how the Holy Spirit has zeroed in on certain areas of life. And frankly, Paul could have gone in many, many directions here. And yet, there are several specific areas of life that he deals with. And I think one reason that he deals with these specific areas of life is because every one of us struggle in these areas of life. So now we have the practice. We have what it looks like to be sanctified. Paul comes right into our homes. Paul comes right into our living rooms. Paul comes right into our workplaces. He comes right into our conversations with other people. He comes right into our cell phones. Comes right into our text messages, our emails, our Facebook comments. Paul comes right into the lives that we live. And he shows us how our lives can change. Folks, this is what sanctification looks like in daily living. And we have it in this passage this morning and in the next few weeks as we look here at the last part of Ephesians 4. So here then is the first area in which we can change. Notice what Paul says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. He begins by saying, put off lying. Put off lying. He says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Now notice that Paul begins and he says, therefore, and of course we've said this many times, we know this as Bible students, you see that word therefore, then you go back in the passage to see why it's there, what it's there for. And we've already done that as we've looked at these first few verses, this first section here in Ephesians chapter 4. So we ask ourselves, what are we to put off? We know how it works. Put it off. Renew the mind. Put it on. That's the principles that he gives. But he says here in verse 25, we are to put away lying or put off falsehood. So a Christian, or using the words that Paul uses in this passage, a person who has learned Christ and heard Christ and be taught in Christ, a Christian will put off lying. Now, Paul doesn't give us specific examples of that. He just says, put off lying. And yet it should not be hard for us to think of examples of lying. I read some statistics from a book about lying, and that book said that 91% of people lie regularly. I shook my head. Of the people interviewed for that book, 92% said that the main reason for their lying was to save face. 98% said the reason they told lies was so that they would not offend other people. The same book said that church attendance made little difference in people's ethical view and behavior toward lying. So let's face it this morning. We struggle with lying. We struggle with it. We can lie in many ways. For example, you can tell a half-truth. I actually struggle with even saying that, a half-truth. A half-truth. In other words, you can sort of tell the truth, but not the whole truth. For example, you can call in sick at work because you don't feel well, but you're actually not too sick to go to work. Half truth. You can tell a white lie. You've heard about a white lie, haven't you? This is supposedly an innocent lie that doesn't hurt anyone, but that's a lie in itself. There are lies that are seemingly justified. In other words, we may think, We lie to protect people, or we lie to protect ourselves. We're told that there are lies that supposedly protect our nation when the truth will hurt the nation. There are lies of exaggeration. There are evasive lies. There are silent lies. And so when I began to think through this subject of lies and lying, and then the Holy Spirit began to knock the feet out from under me, when I looked at this statement and I looked at myself, we struggle with lies. And it's not so much, I don't think it's not so much, perhaps it is, but it's not so much that we look at someone and we say, I'm going to lie to this person. Or they say something to us and we plan and we have this plan in place that I am not going to tell the truth, I will lie to them. It's not so much that, but it's the spur of the moment, the situation where a question is asked or when someone comes before us and we know it puts pressure on us and we know what we say may hurt them or it may offend them or whatever. But we say nothing. Or we don't say it completely. We struggle with lies. We struggle. When God gave me opportunity to examine my own life, I thought, what area do I struggle with in this? And I had to land and say overcommitment. Overcommitment. Someone says this needs to be done, or will you do this? Yes, I'll try to get to it. Yes, I'll visit this person. And a week goes by. 2 weeks go by. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm convicted. And yet, do you see how that can work? How we can so easily be pulled into this pathway of not telling the truth. Folks, the Bible is brutally honest in exposing the failures of the men and women of faith when it comes to lying. We open up the pages of Scripture and we find out that Abraham and Sarah lied. We find out that Isaac and Rebekah lied. We find out that Jacob and Rachel lied. That David lied. That Peter lied. And if these people of great faith struggled with lying, then none of us are exempt. This is why the Apostle Paul, when he begins to give these practical areas of living, he takes us right to where we live. And he touches on these areas that are so common in our lives. And folks, make no mistake about it, whether it's me or whether it's you, we need to change. Amen. And that's what sanctification is. We need to take Paul's words seriously. And we need to take it seriously because God takes it seriously. Let's get an idea just for a few moments of how serious God takes this. Hold your place in Ephesians 4 and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's look at a couple verses from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. And look with me at verses 16 and 17. The writer of Proverbs says, "There are six things which the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to Him." So seven things that the Lord hates. And then the writer gives us this list. Haughty eyes. In other words, pride. Haughty eyes. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and a man who sows discord among brothers. Of seven things that the writer of Proverbs says that the Lord hates. Did you notice that? Two are connected with lies. Two. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. The writer says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Now just stop there for a moment and think about those things, even in the scope of our society, that we will easily say that is an abomination to God. And here the Word of God says, lying lips are an abomination to God. Look at verse 19, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19. The writer says, the truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 17. The writer says, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth is full of gravel. Have you ever eaten rocks? Bread gained by deceit. Many ways that can happen. And one way is that you can lie and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. We could look at a lot of verses from Proverbs, but turn to Revelation chapter 21. Go all the way to the end of the Scriptures, Revelation chapter 21, and look with me at verses 7 and 8. Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. And here the Lord speaks and He says, he who conquers shall have this heritage, and I will be his God and he shall be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, as for murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now I ask you this morning, does God take this seriously? He does. See, what I want you to see from these statements is that we, as God's people, we as Christians, must not play fast and loose with this issue of lying. We also need to take it seriously, because God hates it. And those who practice it, those who continue to live it, continue to do it, continue to practice it, are outside the scope of salvation. Even as we think of Revelation chapter 21. And for this reason, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4, put off lying. So why do we do it? Why do we lie? Why do we struggle with lying? Where does it come from? Why is it a part of our lives? Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Keep in mind that verse 25 is a practical example of verse 22. Verse 22, Paul says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So lying then is a part of that old, unsaved, unregenerate life that grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now look carefully, deceitful lusts or deceitful desires. Folks, what that means is that our hearts are deceived. Our desires are deceived. And the reason we lie is because we have desires that we should not have. Our desires are deceived. And even when we're confronted with the need to change. See, even when I read through and I studied this passage, and even this morning with your ears open and you're hearing for yourself what Paul says here in Ephesians 4. Even when we are confronted with the need to change, the deceit is still there working against us. Because oftentimes we will deny that we're deceived. And we make excuses for our behavior. And we blame others for our actions. And oftentimes we will say, well, that's just the way I am. Or we conclude, I can't change. Or there's nothing I can do. Or it's hopeless. And see, we lie to ourselves. We will not tell ourselves the truth based upon the Word of God. And so these excuses and justifications are the evidence of our deceived hearts. That deceitful heart is still with us. We still have it. And therefore, we must stop making excuses and we must stop blaming our parents or our husband or our wife or the circumstances around us. We are deceived and only God can help us and only God can change us by His grace. And if we reject that grace in justification, if we reject that grace in sanctification, then folks, we will live and die in our sins. And that's serious beyond measure. So let's get specific. What are some desires that move us to lie? Well, I'm sure you can think of many. I'd like to give you two this morning. Two desires, deceitful desires that move us to lie. First of all, there's fear. Fear. We fear what people think of us. We fear being wrong. We fear physical harm. We fear what people might do. But I say to you this morning that these are deceitful desires. These are deceitful things that come from our heart. Folks, it's a lie that popular esteem is more valuable than speaking the truth. It's a lie that physical safety is more valuable than speaking the truth. We are deceived when personal esteem and personal safety is more important than the approval of God. Hold your place in Ephesians 4 and turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Let me give you an example. Matthew chapter 21. When the chief priest and the elders challenged Jesus here in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus asked them about the ministry of John the Baptist. Look at Matthew 21 and begin with me at verse 25. Matthew 21, verse 25. So Jesus says to them, He says, the baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, He will say to us, well, why then did you not believe Him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. And so they answered Jesus, and they said, we do not know. And He said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. In other words, they refused to answer. They knew the answer. And they refused to answer. They lied because they feared the response of the people and they feared for their own safety. Folks, sometimes we will lie because we fear. We're afraid. We're fearful of what men will think or what men will do. There's a second desire that moves us to lie, and that desire is greed. There is greed for money, and there's greed for praise. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. The best example of this would be Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. So go there, Acts chapter 5, and read with me verses 1 through 4. Just follow as I read. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Luke writes and he says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.'" And so they lied concerning the sale of a piece of property, and they kept back part of the proceeds, and they presented it to the apostles as the full amount. And Peter tells us here that Ananias was deceived by Satan. Why did he say that? One reason is this, that Satan is the father of lies. The father of lies. Peter said to him, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Folks, Ananias and Sapphira were deceived into thinking that it is more blessed to keep than to give. See, they were deceived. They were deceived into thinking that they deserved praise instead of God. And so they lied. And Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead. Why? Because the lying tongue is an abomination to God. We lie because of greed. So do you see why the Apostle Paul here, as he begins to give some practical examples of sanctification, practical examples of how we put off the old life and we put on the new life, that the first example he gives is lying. And he says, put it off. Lay it aside. Lying is a part of the old life, the old man, the old self that is controlled by deceitful desires. Now again, look at Ephesians 4:25. Because that's the first part. We put off lying. And actually, what we've done this morning, we've even renewed our minds. Because we're faced with this command to put off lying. But did you see what we did? We went to Scripture. We went to the Word of God to see what God says about lying. And if we saw that and we understand that, and if our hearts were moved to by the Spirit to receive it and say, "Oh my, look how serious this is." You know what will start happening? Our minds will be renewed. And so we put off lying and our minds are renewed by the Word of God. And then Paul says, verse 25, put on truth. Put on truth. He says, "Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." And so the lies are to be replaced by what? By truth. By truth. You're going to see this. We see it in Ephesians 4:22-24. Then you'll see it in these examples. But there's this pattern, and it's a part of sanctification. How often in my own life, how often as I've worked with others, do I see people come to a point that they say, "I need to stop this. I need to stop this sin. I need to put this sin off." And oftentimes they will. They'll stop lying, or they'll stop stealing, or they'll stop being sinfully angry, or they'll stop sinning with their words. They'll stop being bitter, and that'll happen for a while. But you know what happened? They don't renew their minds. They don't continue to fill their minds with the Word of God, and they don't replace the sin with righteousness. And that's why you see this pattern: put off lying and put on truth. You'll see it. Put off stealing and put on work. You'll see this pattern in Ephesians chapter 4. That's where Paul has us now. So these lies must be replaced by truth. Go back to verse 21. Paul says, if indeed you have heard Him, that's Jesus, and have been taught by Him, Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus. Do you see that? The truth is where? In Jesus. The truth is in Christ. The lies of Satan that beget lies of sinners have to be replaced by the truth of Jesus. And this is what verse 23 means by the renewing of the spirit of the mind. The mind has to be filled with the Word of God. The mind has to be filled with Satan fighting truth. And that's how we do it. We fill our minds with the Word of God. And out of that truth will come righteousness and holiness. And part of that holiness will be speaking truth with your neighbor. And so it is a mind then that is filled with the things of God through the Word of God that will help us put off lying. It is a renewed mind that knows and understands from the Word of God that God is the source of truth, and God hates lying and falsehood, and telling the truth is an action of honor and glorifying to God, and there are serious consequences of lying. See, that's how our minds are renewed. That's what the Word of God tells us. But I want you to notice here that in verse 25, Paul focuses on one truth. He says, let everyone speak truth with his neighbor. That's actually a quote from the Old Testament book of Zechariah. Let everyone speak truth with his neighbor. But then he adds this, for we are members of one another. What's amazing is that of all the relationships that Paul could have focused on, he chooses to admonish us to tell the truth to who? We are members of one another. Who's he talking about? The body of Christ. The church. Speak truth to neighbors. And then he says, for we are members of one another. Fellow Christians. We are members of one body. Members of one another. Members of Christ. And folks, I think he has this in mind. For example, a physical illustration. If the body is eating with a fork, and the eye lies to the hand where the mouth is, then the hand will stab the face. Now think about it. And not only will it hurt the face, but it hurts the whole body. Because when one part of the body is hurt, the whole body is hurt. And what Paul reminds us then here is this connection, this truth of God concerning the body of Christ. We are to speak truth to one another. We need our minds renewed concerning the body of Christ. And when the truth concerning the reality of the body of Christ and our part in the body of Christ really hits home and we believe it, then the spirit of our mind will be renewed and transformed about how to act and how to speak toward other believers and how to act and speak to the body of Christ. And we'll change. And we'll speak truth. And we'll speak truth to one another. Do we need to speak truth to one another? Amen. You walk up to that believer this morning and you look at them and you look at them with all sincerity and you say, how are you doing this morning? And they look at you and they say, just fine. And they're going through some of the hardest things in their life right now. And what do they say? I'm okay. I'm okay. We need to speak truth to one another, don't we? See, we need to put off lying, and we need to speak truth. Let's bring this all together. One simple statement by the Apostle Paul here. So lying is a part of the unsaved life. It's a part of the old man, the old life, the old self. It's caused by desires that are deceived. And therefore it must be put off or laid aside, and especially in the church among believers. So therefore, let us not lie to one another. Do not deceive one another. Do not exaggerate or evade or hold back truth. But be honest and straightforward and plain and real and truthful. And Paul would even later say in Ephesians 5, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And let's be honest. Let's walk in the light as He is in the light. And let's see God for who He is. And let us remember the body of Christ. And let's speak truth to one another as members of one another. Paul says, put off lying. Speak truth with one another, for we are members of one another. And folks, show the world that you have heard Jesus and been taught in Jesus, because the truth is in Jesus. Our lives will change. Let's pray. Join me now in prayer. Father, thank you for the simplicity of this statement in your word. And yet oftentimes the simple things simply stated are so difficult in our lives. Father, this passage reminds us that we're not who we used to be, and we're not who we will be. But praise God, through your mercy and through your grace and through your great power, we can be transformed. So thank you for the reminders this morning. And God, I pray, if there's anyone here today who's not placed their faith in Jesus, anyone here today who's not connected with Jesus through faith, Father, today would be that day when their ears are open, their hearts are open, and you, by your grace, will give them light. Father, thank you for your word. As we continue to look at truth, may we be changed. Changed so that our lives will be a witness and a testimony that show forth the greatness and the grace of you. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We know it all comes through Him. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Amen.